JC2S, Part 2. Number 23A.
So she says, all right, this system, this key of David, has enabled the learner to demonstrate the divine principle and rules of healing. And it will be lost no more. She says, because it's based on science and understanding, not on belief and faith. So, or vicarious salvation. So when we look at the table of contents, we say yes, that all the chapters up to recapitulation, those first chapters coming all the way up to the 14th chapter, saying, all right, she says, at the 14th chapter of recapitulation, I have recapitulated in recapitulation, she says, all that has gone before, because you know in that chapter, we no longer get in recapitulation a sevenfold structure, but it's broken down in the fourfold operation, as if she says that all that I've given you before, in, as she says in that chapter of recapitulation, is a science, is a system, is an operating system. And she says, now if you take that system which has been analyzed into the categories of being, she says, into the synonymous terms, in the fourfold operation, as they operate on the different levels of consciousness, if you take the recap of that system, that's the key to the scriptures. That's the key which opens up the scriptures. And then she just gives us Genesis and the Apocalypse. We know glossary now and fruitage are added, and so they are part of the body of the text. So she says, with the key of David, you will open up the Bible. So I'll open up with the key of David, Genesis, the first book, and the Apocalypse, the last book. But naturally, with the key, you can open up any door in the Bible and any door in life experience. And she says, and that key, which opens up the Bible now, that we found in science and health, is going to open up the key, is going to open up the realm of the 7,000 year period. Because with that key, we have the healing of consciousness, and with the healing of consciousness through science, we enter into the 7,000 year period on science and understanding. And that, with that key, it will never be lost. That's what's wonderful, that science cannot lose anymore the healing that was lost, she says, in this tone of truth is love. So when we turn to page 501, I don't know if that's page 500, four, 7, 8, 9. Well, I guess it's 499. There's no page numbers. Yeah, 499. There's no page number, but it's that section that's just as key to the scriptures. And then she says, we find it? And she says, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, as if saying, all right, these are the things that have come before. I've given you the key of David, as we've just seen through the first 14 chapters. And that key is going to be, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know, see, it's on knowing, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. Isn't that wonderful? That key of David, based on science and understanding, enables us now to know thy works. And because it's based on science and understanding, therefore it has opened the door and nobody can shut it again. And consciousness then will go on with that healing consciousness into that 7,000 year period through truth's volume. Okay, let's take a break now. So we go on and see then that truth is soul is principle. Therefore the epitome reads, a demonstration of these rules show through practical tests that truth has lost none of its healing efficacy. So we can see now that what Mrs. Eddy therefore brought forward in truth's volume, there in rediscovering the science and principle and rules behind Jesus's healing, has shown that truth has lost none of its power. showing that she found the key. She found the key to healing, the key to healing in science and understanding. So let's now look on 147:6-13 again. It's not very big, a long text, but it certainly always has a very important message. She says, late in the 19th century, I demonstrated the divine rules of Christian Science. They were submitted to the broadest practical test, and everywhere, when honestly applied, under circumstances where demonstration was humanly possible, the science showed that truth had lost none of its divine and healing efficacy. Even though centuries had passed away since Jesus practiced these rules on the hills of Judea and in the valleys of Galilee. So she rediscovered the healing process. And if we go now to the abstraction, we can see that she's showing that whenever you have something like a healing process, she's presenting it now in a fourfold dynamic flow, and we just listen to the tones here. That's where you get the wheels within wheels and subject within subject. Sometime, as we saw last, well, we heard the law of truth, life, and love behind her last statement about divine metaphysics is now reduced to a system and adapted to the age of the thought in which we live. And before, we've heard different fourfold flows within subtones, and as I read, that discovery that she made had a sevenfold flow within the mind as mind tone. So it's just in bringing out this sense of healing, which is dynamic. She has it here in this fourfold flow where she says, I. Well, we're talking about the demonstration. That's principle, isn't it? Of these rules shows through, that's a Christ tone, practical test, that's a principle tone, that truth has lost, that's a soul tone, none of its healing power. So she says on the marginal heading here, test, that's a principle tone. So she'll show this point by saying, giving the word sense. She says that these tests that she put the science through, that she demonstrated, it's never the I, is it? It's always that mind of Christ. When she says I, she always would mean that mind which is Christ. She said that to us, didn't she? Follow me only insofar as I follow Christ. So with the mind of Christ, she tested her science. And at the point here, she says, and this test demonstrated the divine rules of Christian Science. She says, my test, therefore, was that I submitted, that's always a Christ tone, this science to the broadest practical test. And the outcome, always a Christianity tone, everywhere, when honestly applied, and it has a principle tone, these were honest, it was a demonstration of honest test, all principle, huh? Under circumstances where demonstration was humanly possible, then she gives that sense of science. Science showed that truth had lost none of its divine and healing efficacy or power, even though centuries had passed away since Jesus practiced these rules, showing it was a timeless system, a timeless science, a timeless... she found, as I said, the key to that healing, which is timeless. And she tested it, and it proved to be so, that she had rediscovered that tone of soul, the truth, because as it was based on principle. So really gives us a nice, short epitome there of how she tested these rules and found them to still be have power. Okay, then we come to the next. The truth as soul, as life tone, where she says, all right, now we want to see how that healing power of truth, now which was lost but rediscovered in truth's volume through science and understanding, she says, now she says, and that I that the Christ mind put through these tests, and they proved that, yes, that healing still has power. She says, now, she said, the practice of these rules lifts us high above antiquated theories and enables us to grasp the spiritual facts of being. So we have truth as soul as life. We hear now that the practice of these rules, that's always that sense, the living practice is here. The living practice of these rules, you have the sense of soul, lifts us high, there's that life sense, above antiquated, the opposite of life, theories, enables us to grasp the spiritual facts, that's grasp with spiritual understanding, soul, the facts of being, the facts of life. Well, let's see how she says it. 147, 14 to 31. All right, she says, although this volume contains the complete science of mind healing, never believe that you can absorb the whole meaning of the science by a simple perusal of this book. The book needs to be studied, and the demonstration of the rules of scientific healing will plant you firmly on the spiritual groundwork of Christian Science. This proof lifts you high above the perishing fossils of theories already antiquated, and enables you to grasp the spiritual facts of being, hitherto unattained and seemingly dim. Our master healed the sick, practiced Christian healing, and taught the generalities of its divine principle to his students. But he left no definite rule for demonstrating this principle of healing and preventing disease. This rule remained to be discovered in Christian Science. A pure affection takes form in goodness, but science alone reveals the divine principle of goodness and demonstrates its rules. Well, that said so nicely. Okay, so let's look at it in abstraction. So she says, we say, well, what is it she's showing here? And so we say, well, first of all, and the first marginal heading she's showing, how can we practice the rules of scientific healing? And she says, well, it's not by a simple perusal of science and health. It's not by a simple overlook of the textbook. It takes study. That perusal means study, to read carefully. So in its superficial sense, it means just if you don't go over it simply, but it needs to be studied. So she says, how can we practice the rules of scientific healing? Study the science of mind healing in science and health, and demonstrate the rules of scientific healing. Always those two arms of the principle, isn't it? Understanding and demonstration. That through our understanding of mind, spirit, soul, principle, which constitutes the science, as she's given us in the beginning of this chapter, she can say, with that understanding of that science of God, now study the science of mind healing in this textbook, in as I'm giving you it in this chapter. And that will demonstrate the living theology life and the living healing, the living medicine. A simple, quick glance over the book will not do that, or a simple reading will not do it. It takes a careful study, a deep study, a careful reading. And then she says, if we do that, she says, the result will be Christ, huh? We will be planted firmly on the spiritual groundwork of Christian Science. Therefore, that will give us that spiritual foundation that we need. And therefore, this proof lifts us high above. There's get the life. That if we do this understanding and demonstration, taking this science and seeing how it's demonstrated through a living theology and a living medicine, this will lift us high, life, huh? Above antiquated theories. All those antiquated theories of science, all those antiquated theories of theology, all those antiquated theories of medicine. And therefore, we are able to grasp it on spiritual understanding, that which was dimly seen. Soul. So you hear that sense of that truth, which if we understand the science. We will demonstrate this in our life and in medicine. And then she shows here, therefore, she says that then is what's going on within the realm of spiritual understanding. And then under the marginal heading, a definite rule discovered. And here she shows now, wrapping up this truth of soul tone, she says, okay, now I'm just looking back again at truth's volumes, place value within the thousand-year periods. She says, yes, Jesus, at that fifth thousand-year period, he healed the sick. Here you hear Jesus at that point of healing the sick. Truth, huh? He had the remedy. Jesus individually at the 5,000-year period of life, so that he was at that point of life, at the 5,000-year period, he healed the sick. He had the remedy. He practiced Christian healing. He taught the generalities of the divine principle, but he left no definite rule for demonstrating this principle. That was then to come, she says, in the 6,000-year period of Christian science to discover this rule. And she says, Christian science is not metaphysics. It's not a pure affection which takes form in goodness. That's always nice to have that second degree of a morality, which is pure affection which takes form in goodness. But that's not enough. That's not science. That's not what I brought. I didn't bring the second degree of those moral qualities. I brought a science. And she says, and this science alone reveals the divine principle of goodness. See, she shows now that third degree, that spiritual science which I brought, gives us the principle of morality, the principle of goodness, and demonstrates its rules. And she says, and that is understanding, that spiritual understanding. And only from that spiritual standpoint is the moral safe, is the pure affection in goodness safe. She says, from no other standpoint is it safe. See, that's the old Cain, Abel and story, isn't it? That from the first degree, the physical, as we've seen, always is so tenacious that it says it kills the moral. See, that's that the moral alone, the pure affection taking form in goodness is fine, but that will never hold off the physical. She says that what we need on that moral is a principle of morality. Then when there is the spiritual behind the metaphysics, the science behind the metaphysics, then the metaphysics stands on a strong foundation. You see? And so she says, what I then have given is that principle of goodness, which will then see how that principle is then demonstrating its rules through spiritual understanding, and that gives us, and that lifts us high above antiquated theories. All right? So now we come to truth as principle, which I won't take this evening because we have to stop shortly and I don't want to get into it. We're going to have a little talk together. So what we will do is I just will present the assignment for this evening as I don't want to get into the subject. So what we will do this evening then is just go back over, therefore, the flow of the epitomes, satisfying point three, and therefore just culturing within consciousness when we go back to our room after dinner, just listening. We've concept build together in class now, as we know, for the whole truth is mind tone. Truth is spirit, truth is soul, and therefore go back over that and begin to tonality build. The truth is mind tone as given through its three subtones and what that means to the subject. And then go on and culture the truth is spirit tone and what that means. And then the truth is soul tone and what that means. And therefore what we will see then, that it will show at truth is principle. Now this truth, which is a remedy, which as mind is based on the divine mind, and which as spirit controls only through its Christ channels and not through any other channels, and that healing power, which is now rediscovered as a science at the point of soul, that now is going to heal all classifications of disharmony. It heals disease as well as sin. So she will show, therefore, here that to that mind of Christ, which is now based on a science, it heals sin as well as sickness, that it knows no restrictions, that it will heal all classifications. There's no classification to the principle, such as a harmless disease or a dangerous disease, or an easy-to-heal disease or a difficult-to-heal disease, a curable or an incurable disease. That principle will heal all classification, curable or incurable, easy or difficult, harmless or dangerous, organic or functional. You see? That it knows no limits to its to the ever operation of that principle, science now is a principle that is which is love. We'll see it operates. It'll have that tone of love. It heals all classifications because it's a divine principle, love. It's an all embracing, all encompassing healing principle. So you listen for the love behind this truth, this principle. All as we've seen in science, we saw that science was based on a principle, love, and then we saw that she said it was a religion of love. Now we'll see that it's a medicine of love. It heals all classifications. Yes, so as we come now to truth is principle, as we're seeing then, we want to get that big overall tonality of truth, always the big vision in mind, working from the whole to the part. And we now see that truth is the only remedy, but the remedy is the divine mind. So we say, yes, now we can see that it's a mystery to us why we don't turn to the divine mind. That mind is not mysterious as it operates as the Christ. That mind which is love, that mind which sees the end from the beginning, it sees perfection. That's what it goes out from. Perfection, love, in its ideal form, truth, made known to every single situation. That's taking that reverse order. And John Dorley said how often in practice he would go out from love to truth to life. Seeing, therefore, that mind, the reason, as I said, return to it, is because that's the only source that shows us that plan of love, that universal plan, our place within that universal plan, and that universal plan is bringing out our ideal form truth of the individual moment. And so, therefore, every single moment is made known in its ideal form of perfection to us through the mind of Christ. And that mind, therefore, is guiding and leading us, always filling our consciousness only with ideas. It's only reading ideas. It's only reading the realm of mind in its ideas, and spirit in its ideas, and soul in its ideas, and principle in its ideas, and life in its ideas, and truth in its ideas, and love in its ideas. And with a consciousness filled with the allness of God in its ideas, we see now, against such a consciousness, there is no law. So, throughout the rest of this truth tone, we're going to just keep seeing that over and over. Mind is the only remedy, that we are not to take any lower remedies, called the human mind or called matter. And now she'll just bring out the consequences of such a standpoint, always reaffirming that yes, yes, it's the divine mind and only the divine mind. No other healing agent should be employed. So when we come to this standpoint of truth as principle, we say to ourselves, well, therefore, why should we do this? Are there any limitations to the divine mind? And so we see, well, we've already seen that truth as mind, that the divine mind is the remedy, and that as truth is spirit, it works only through its channels, the channels of the Christ in its translation and retranslation, the law of the interdependence of the Christ, and truth is soul, that consciousness that the divine mind is the only remedy, the only healing agent, was lost because of false idolatry, where the mind turned away, human mind turned away from that divine mind, and therefore through just faith or belief. But we saw then that Christian Science came to give that mind a basis of spiritual understanding, and it did that through science. That truth volume now gives us that science with its divine system of reference, which gives us what is reality, and with that what is reality, that subject is also the method of how do we become one with that reality. So that science and understanding become one, and we have then that spiritual understanding which he shows in soul can never be lost, never. And so now at the truth is principle tone, we're going to see that at this main tone, that this sense of that mind, which is the remedy, which can never be lost, is now going to heal all classifications. Well, that's the English term, disharmony or inharmony, if we want to use the Americanized set term. So we see then that truth heals all classifications of disharmony. It heals disease, as well as sin.